It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Numbers as we continue to take a quick overview of the book of Numbers. We've really taken some time here to look at these events that's taking place during their travel from Egypt, from Mount Sinai, on to Kadesh Barnea, and then we'll have the 40 years journey as well here before we get into the Promised Land, to the book of Joshua. But right now we're in the 12th chapter. So please, Numbers chapter 12, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to that chapter, and we're going to enjoy that today. And so Numbers chapter 12, and while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he had not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, and unto Miriam. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and they departed. And a cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was a leper. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had put spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards the people removed from Hazareth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. That's the 11th chapter. Let's begin as we always do with prayer. Father, thank you for this study today. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us. It's such a joy to open your precious word and to enjoy this time. So please today help us to see your way and see your words and make it so clear to us, dear Father, that we may bring the gospel out to this lost and dying world, that people will realize that they've just been maybe playing religion and they have never had this personal relationship with you. But today, dear Father, they will, that they'll come and invite your Son, the Lord Jesus, into their hearts to save them and to take their sins away. Please that that be the case today, and please grow each and every one of us that we may know you and walk with you each day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We had looked at the 11th chapter. We looked at the quail as they have come down. And we talked about, and I let you think about it for a week, concerning the depth of these quail. It's thought that possibly it was that was the level that they hovered, so they were easy to capture. And so we looked at that depth, if you were with me last time, and I sure hope that you were, because it said it's 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth, was verse 31. And so it's both thoughts have been there, that that's just how many they were. And then the other thought is that God brought them in such a manner that he just brought them in, and they just kind of stayed at that height, and they were just easy to gather up. And we know what happened. Because of their displeasure in the Lord, we do the same thing. We get displeased with what the Lord has handed to us sometimes, and we get discouraged and begin to complain. And so and a lot of times the Lord is just wondering if he takes us down through that valley, if we're going to stand right with him and look to him and stay close to him, or are we going to become bitter and start to argue and start to question what the Lord is doing and all those things. It's just so hard to not do that, because that's just our nature. Well, God wants us to have a nature that is like his, and that is that we depend upon him. And so please today that be the case, that we listen so prayerfully and so carefully to what he wants us to do, and then to follow up and do just that. Now, I want to just touch on that. We talked about how they were such gluttons in bringing in so much into the camp, and then we know that this plague that come upon them, and the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. It was, not only were they displeased with what the Lord was giving them, which was a perfect food, he also found them to just go overboard in gathering this up, instead of, saying, even apologizing is what they should have done, as we talked last time. We're sorry, Lord, for what we have done. Sorry the way we've acted. And instead of that, why, they just went and gathered up just so much. And it just once again shows that they were not walking with the Lord. They were not depending upon the Lord. Well, we see here in this 12th chapter, neither is the leadership, and I'm speaking of Miriam and Aaron. They spoke against Moses. Now, we have had those words many times, haven't we? The Lord's anger was kindled against the people. Then Moses complained unto the Lord. And now we find Miriam and Aaron complaining to Moses. And so doesn't that just sound like our own world that we live in today? That it just, we go from one complaining to another complaining, instead of just praising the Lord and enjoying the Word of God and saying, Lord, please that you grow me and make me what you want me to be, and make me to serve you, to help me to serve you today. Oh, that we would follow those words. Well, Miriam and Aaron, now let me help you here if you're not real familiar with who we're talking about. Miriam is the sister of Moses. Aaron is the brother of Moses, or brother, all brothers and sisters. Miriam and Aaron are older than Moses. Moses is the younger. Miriam is the one that has snatched Moses out of the sea, out of the river, remember, because Moses' mother put him in the river to save his life. And Miriam is the one that followed this basket down the river and watched Pharaoh's daughter pick the basket up, and then ends up that Moses' mother actually gets to raise Moses when it's all finished. But Miriam is the one that is supervising and watching this basket as it floats down the river. And Aaron, we know, is the high priest. He's going to hold that position. And so we have three very strong people here. And Miriam has kind of placed herself in this authority. And Aaron, again, has been chosen as high priest. Moses is the leader. And we have something else here that's just a little bit interesting, and that says that it's an Ethiopian woman. Now, when you go back, you'll find that it was the king of Midian's daughter. She was a Midianite. So we're not sure. You know, some things the scripture just leaves out. It's not important. So we're not sure whether this is something that's different here a little bit, or possibly Moses, this is Moses' second wife. Did the bride from Midian, has she died? What has happened? We're not sure here. We just are told here that this Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And so that's all we're told here. So you remember the 40 years of being in Egypt under the greatest schools of that land, most worldly schools, of course, but the most the greatest schools almost of the time were found there, and Moses was raised as Pharaoh's son. And then we have, beyond that, then we have 40 years that he goes into the wilderness of Midian. And then at age 80, he returns to Egypt to lead the people out. And so God had to take, he was schooled 40 years by the world, and God took 40 years to unschool him and then teach him his ways. And now he's started his service. And so that kind of catches you up just a little bit. But Aaron, Miriam, and Moses are all three brothers and sisters. And now we see this Ethiopian woman that at some point here Moses has married. Well, it was just enough that Miriam was going to kind of go after Moses with that. You see, when you're the baby brother, that probably always puts you to a place or a position where you know, as older sister or older brother, you know better. You know what to do, and whether they disliked each other, whether whatever it was, Miriam decided this was going to be the tool, this was going to be the opportunity to move herself and Aaron up a little higher. You know, this Moses has so much power. You know, whatever Moses said goes here. And Miriam didn't like that, and I'm not sure Aaron liked it much better. But they spoke against Moses, and so they questioned his leadership. They wondered why that they were, didn't have more opportunities themselves to do what they wanted to do. How's come we got to listen to my little brother all the time? And they used this situation to open that door. And in verse 2, and they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." She began to complain. She probably just didn't say that to Aaron. She probably had her group of followers, and she told them. We're not real sure here who she all said it to, but she said it and said it loud enough, of which just a whisper or just a thought in her mind, our Lord knows. And so here's what's going to happen. The question is, "And hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" Speaking of Aaron and Miriam. "And the Lord heard it." Now, verse 3. "Now the Lord, now the man Moses was very meek." Now, we've talked about this before, but it's been a while. That word meek does not mean weak. Moses is not a weak man. He is a meek man, and another that is called meek, and that is our Lord Jesus. So what company Moses has when we are told here of his way, his personality, just the way Moses is. This is Moses. He's meek, but he's not weak. And it says, "above all men which were up on the face of the earth." And so that gives us a tremendous insight to Moses here and his character. And what a compliment. What a compliment to be said to myself or to someone else if they would say that you're a very meek man. That is a compliment because it means that you're very, very godly. You desire to serve the Lord. It is an example of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we have right here. Now, you can take that word and look it up in the dictionary, and you won't find that definition, but that's what it means here. And so now when we look in this fourth verse, the Lord spake suddenly, because remember in the second verse, and the Lord heard it. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, and to Miriam. If you'll notice, Moses was listed first, Miriam was listed last. The one that raised her voice and in concern and complaint, she was jealous. That's the only word for it. She was jealous of the position that Moses held, and she wanted some more power. Well, please, just, you know, we have battles in churches. You have battles in politics. You have battles anywhere, any club, anything that you might be a part of. There seems like always a power struggle that goes on, a position, a power struggle that tries to disrupt things. Devil loves a power struggle. To place this jealousy into the heart of Miriam was the devil's hand, without a question. Aaron went along. Instead of Aaron saying, "Now listen, God has chosen that man, and he is a man of God, and we're going to follow him. I don't care if he is my younger brother." "Now listen, Miriam, you just stand back here a little bit and watch out. Be careful." But instead of that, we find that Aaron was not near as strong as Moses in his power and strength. You think he was high priest, he should be of that position and power and strength, but he was not, and neither was Miriam. And so again, we have them called out suddenly, spake suddenly, didn't wait, unto Moses, unto Aaron, unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." They came out. And the Lord came down a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. And he called Aaron and Miriam forward, and they both came forth. Now, how much of this did Moses know about? How much did he know about what was going to be dealt with here? Had the Lord spoke to him ahead? Had the Lord said, "There's trouble in the camp, in the leadership of the camp. We got trouble with the common folks. We got trouble with the leadership. We got trouble everywhere." You see, that old devil, he doesn't stop anywhere. He doesn't let up on anybody. He just stays right with them all the time. And so it says, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." They came out. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and then he separates them. He calls Aaron and Miriam out, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. For my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth." Now look at this. Moses is higher than any prophet. Moses, as the scripture tells us, is like our Lord Jesus. He is not God in that fashion, but he is a meek man. He is a very godly man. And we know that other than the Lord Jesus himself, God himself here upon earth, no one was communicated with like unto Moses. Like unto Moses. Of course, our Lord Jesus, he was God. He knows all as God the Father does, as the Spirit does. He knows all. He understands all. And so, altogether different. But as far as this communication, he's the closest to our Lord Jesus. because everyone else, Abraham, he would hear from the Lord through a dream. Jacob, others, they would be told through a dream. Moses heard our Lord word for word, mouth to mouth, the scripture says here. And not in dark speeches. And so he doesn't talk to Moses in a dream. He doesn't talk to Moses through a vision. That's what prophets get. And then prophets need to bring it forward. Instead of that, the Lord spoke word to word, face to face, literally, to each other. Now, we know that no one can look upon the face of our Lord or see the Lord and live. But as close as you can get, Moses held that. And that's what the Lord is trying to describe to Miriam and to Aaron. It says, you know, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. That's verse 6. But Moses, this man Moses that you're attacking, he is above that. He is beyond that. I will speak mouth to mouth. And the Lord shall behold, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. I missed that part in the middle of verse 8. The similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? They were just looking at Moses as their little brother, weren't they? They were not looking to Moses as this great leader that God had called out, trained, and sent forth for this great operation of taking this 1.5 to 2.5 million people from Egypt to the promised land. God's given him his voice, given him leadership, and because they have spoken against Moses, and the Lord said, you should have been afraid. You should have been scared to do that. But you weren't. You weren't smart enough to be afraid. You know, a lot of people's that way. They're not smart enough to be afraid of what's to come. And when I mean what's to come is, there is a hell to shun. There is the lake of fire that's to come. But most people make their, they analyze it, figure it all out, said it can't be, and so they deny it, and they figure it's nothing to come. When you die, you just go into the grave, worms eat your body, and that's it. Well, that's not true, my friend. That's not true. And if you're not smart enough to be afraid, fearful for what's to come, and fearful for a whole to stand face to face with the holy God, because you will. There is going to be a judgment. But right now, here and now, you have no greater opportunity than to come and to serve and to praise God with all of your heart. But you have to accept him as your Savior, because see, your sin right now is separating you from God. And so you must ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to save you and get rid of that sin. And once that sin is gone, God covers it with his precious blood. Then you have fellowship back with the Father, and your walk begins, your work begins, your service begins, your joy begins, your peace begins when that takes place. But many times when we have set out for service to the Lord and we begin to look at someone else, and for whatever reason we begin to be jealous of what they have, what they possess. Maybe it's great wealth. Maybe it's a high position. You know, whatever it is. But we become jealous of that. And so the only way we know to get what we want is to tear them down, to destroy them. And so here we come and it says that, Moses, he married that Ethiopian woman. He can't be a leader and have done that. That was her dig. That was her way to do it. And so, you see, the days of politics and their ways of doing things are not new ways. They're old ways. Because even in the leadership here, they did the same thing. Tried to dig up some dirt so they could make it the outcome be what they wanted. Now, let's see what happens here. The Lord said, you should have been afraid. You should have been afraid to speak against this man. And at that point in time, the ninth verse, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed. Oh, we don't want this. The cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was a leper. Judgment had come upon Miriam. Now, Aaron didn't get it. He's a high priest. If God spared him this time, because if he'd have got the leprosy, he couldn't have been the high priest. And so, and also Miriam, I think, was a ringleader. I think she's the one that brought it up in the first place. Aaron went along, just as he is found to do so often. And we find now that Miriam has this judgment upon her. And I guess it's a very evident judgment. And Aaron said to Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned." You see what needs to come when we do make a mistake? Miriam doesn't call upon Moses. Aaron on her behalf comes, and that's what our high priest does. Our high priest does that for us, and our high priest is the Lord Jesus. He holds that position today. And so when we make a mistake, and we do, he said, "Well, Larry, you said your sins are taken away." Yes, but that does not make me perfect by any means, because I still possess the flesh. And I will, until I'm finished with this body and go on to the next life. And right now, you know, my sins are forgiven, but I still have the old flesh and still walk down that life that many times is not pleasing unto the Lord. But here's how you get back. Here's how you get back. You go before our Lord Jesus. Now, this is to a believer. Now, if you're lost, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. It's a personal decision, a personal relationship that you need with your Lord. And that's the only way to get there. It's the only way to be born again. And then the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Number one. Number two, once you're a child of God and you do something like this, the Lord's anger is kindled and judgment comes. And so as judgment comes here, we find that Aaron comes before the Lord, before Moses, and says, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed." And verse 13, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech you. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had put spit in her face, should she not be ashamed for 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hezroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran." Just a couple of things before we're finished for the day. Aaron made intercession for his sister Miriam for her mistake. She got the judgment because of what she had done. God came in and has healed her, but not without a consequence. There were 7 days that she had to stay outside the camp. For 7 days. So that cost them 7 days. They did not journey for 7 days. So all the people knew what Miriam had done, and they were held up for 7 days before they could get to the gate of the promised land. They were held up for 7 days, and then they gathered their tents and went on to the promised land, on to send the spies at Kadesh Barnea. That's where we'll begin next time at chapter 13. I hope that you enjoyed the study today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?